Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Mitch Moss, the Follow the Money, will join us. We will go over the divisional round. It is here. Four games, should be good ones. What some call the best weekend of football in the year. And I think when you include the Monday title game with Miami and Indiana, it's hard to argue when you get four games with a chance to go to the championship game, the final four, which I feel like if they called it the final four in football, I always thought this. I feel like in the NCAA tournament, you make the final four, it's viewed as an accomplishment. People, when they retire, or coaches, when they die, they say, oh, this guy made won a national championship, made three final fours. You don't get that same feeling when it's the conference championships, but it is the final four. And these games are for a trip to go to that final four. So awesome weekend. Can't wait for it. Before we get to Mitch, and it was weird on Thursday not having a game. You're just trained. As a sports fan, you just get into your routines. And that first Saturday without college football at noon is a little weird. But you got the bowl games, and eventually those run out, and you switch to college basketball, whatever you do on a Saturday. But for Thursday, for so long, dating back to really the Hall of Fame game was even in late July. I think the last day of July, July 28th, 29th, something like that, for the Hall of Fame game. The Hall of Fame game was early this year in July. Since then, you've had a football game every Thursday, whether it's preseason NFL, college football, shortly after end of August, third week of August, week zero, I think, starts on a Saturday. But you get the idea. I mean, it's been a long time since you didn't have a football game on a Thursday. Last week, you had Miami Ole Miss. The weeks prior, you had Thursday night football with the NFL. It is strange here to not have a football game on a Thursday, but the seasons are changing here as we wind down football. But let's get into the games. Talk a little bit about this Wednesday with Dave Ross. But I'll go over it here, give some additional thoughts, and pick a winner for every game, a bet for every game. I mentioned on Wednesday show, Bills, Broncos. I like Allen over 8.5 rush attempts. Just want to double check, make sure that is still the number here. With their receivers beat up, Allen, ran 11 times last week, and it is still, nine plus is minus 104 at DraftKings. So that number is still available. Shop around. I think that's probably the best one you're going to find. Receivers are beat up. The corners for Denver are really good. I think, and it leads into my play here, and I know Stuckey on the Action Network was talking about this too. He does a good job breaking these games down. He likes the under. I could see that where he doesn't have much in terms of options to throw the ball to. It's Allen, it's Cook, and it's really not a lot else. I know you do have Kincaid and Knox, so maybe a little bit is too much made of the – maybe too much is made of only having three receivers, because you do have five pass catchers if you count. The three receivers, the two tight ends, you throw in Cook. You got enough guys, but the receivers aren't great to begin with. They're banged up. Denver's really good at corner. I think a lot of this is going to be Cook. It's going to be Allen. It's going to be screen passes to the tight end. But I do think Allen will be calling his own number a lot. So I like Allen 9+ carries, and I could understand that look for the under where Denver is not an explosive team on offense. Denver is just a pure under team. And Buffalo, you could say, is a pure over team because they're really good on offense and not great on defense. But Denver, I think, counteracts that because they're going to run the ball. They're going to play good defense. I don't think the Bills are going to get a ton of explosive plays. A lot of it is going to be in big spots. Allen's just trying to move the chains with his legs and doing everything he can to just keep this game close into the fourth quarter where, I think if you're the Bills, you get to the point where it's 20 all with 5 minutes to go or 8 minutes to go, and we have Allen, you have Bo Nix, and hopefully you win that game that way. I do think Buffalo wins the game, even though they are outmanned, they are banged up. If it's a close game, I trust Allen over Nix, but Denver has taken some money here. We were doing the show Sunday night with Gil, and Buffalo was favored by 1.5, and now it is flipped where the Broncos are favored by 1.5. So a three-point movement, you are going through zero, but Denver has taken some money. Mentioned Denver's a good teaser leg, +1.5. I think Buffalo's a good teaser leg at +1.5, up to 7.5. I think this will be a close game. I'll go Buffalo to win a close one, lean towards the under, but my best bet is the Allen over rush attempts. And we'll see if Allen can get one step closer to his first ever Super Bowl appearance. That's the Saturday afternoon game, Saturday night game, Seahawks 49ers. I like the under. The Seahawks have not played great offense. Talked about this the other day. 18-16 against the Colts, 13-3 against the 49ers, 4.4 yards per play against the Panthers. They have not been great on offense, and I just don't know the 49ers or another team. They're banged up. No Kittle, that matters. Purdy, keep in mind, Mike McDonald, the Seahawks coach, he was the Ravens defensive coordinator a few years ago where they absolutely terrorized Purdy, so he's done a good job historically against Purdy. And I just think if Seattle has their way here, if Seattle has their way, they win a low-scoring game. They don't put Darnold in harm's way. Darnold can come apart at any time, but I just think Seattle is in better form here. Seattle, even though they haven't played great on offense, home, rest, 49ers on a short week, 49ers beat up. I like the under more than anything. I do think Seattle wins. I don't want to lay 7.5 with Darnold. I just think that is a lot of points. But including Seattle on a teaser, I think is a pretty good leg. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost, but I would be pretty surprised if they lost. Wouldn't be shocked. Can't be shocked in any of these games, and it's a 7-point spread. It's not like it's a 17-point spread, but under is a play I like. Seattle on a teaser is good. I do think Seattle advances. Don't love laying the 7. See how that game plays out. As wouldn't it just be fitting? And I've talked about this before from a Viking standpoint. Wouldn't it be fitting if they cut Sam Darnold loose, and a year later he is in the Super Bowl for the Seahawks? Well, he's 2 wins away from it. He's 2 home wins away from it, and I do think he probably gets this one Saturday night. 2 weeks, two weeks. It's weird. We had Bears Packers play on a Saturday night, end of the regular season. 3 weeks later, they played the same time slot, same day, same location in Chicago, a Saturday night. We're getting the same thing, 49ers Seahawks, where they played in week 18, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. And now they play 2 weeks later, Saturday night, 8 o'clock, although that one was in San Francisco. This one is in Seattle. Houston against New England. This has not budged off a 3. The plus 3 for Houston is even money. So I think if you do shop around, I've seen some 3.5, minus 115. I don't think that's a bad bet. I would lean towards Houston plus the points. I just think their defense might be the best unit on the field. We finally saw Drake May against a real team, a real defense. That was not that impressive for New England last week. The Chargers had plenty of opportunities. And Herbert, who I am a fan of and apologist for, he left a lot of points on the board. They left a lot of plays on the board. They couldn't block him by the end of the game. I would only look towards Houston in a game where they muck it up. They play good defense. They don't do much on offense. But you got two coaches who are defensive-oriented. And this plays into my play. Under 7.5 in the first quarter, I think is a good bet because they turned the ball over. Both teams last week put the ball in harm's way all game. And basically, we're lucky to survive, and we're only going to lose because of turnovers. New England fumbled it a couple times, lost one of them, almost lost the second one. They got the Chargers back in the game and threw a pick, put themselves in harm's way right away. And the Texans nearly gave the game away with turnovers. I think both these teams are going to look at the film, watch that, and say, no turnovers. Let's protect the ball. If we have to punt, so be it. Punt's not the worst thing. A turnover is a disaster. So I think you'll get a little bit of a conservative start early on. I lean towards the Texans plus the 3. If I had to pick a winner, how about the Texans moving on? The Texans as the 5 seed and the Bills and the 6 seed. The 5 and the 6 in the AFC title game where the Texans would actually host as a wild card team. That doesn't happen very often, but it has happened before, and maybe we get that scenario there. I'll go with Houston just because I do think their defense is the best unit on the field, and I will take them plus the points. Under 7.5 first quarter is the bet. Rams-Bears, we're holding Rams minus 3.5, total 48.5. I like the Bears. Talked about it since Sunday night when these lines open. I hate the fact that they're playing in zero-degree weather. I hate the fact that Stafford's finger might be an issue. I don't love the idea of jumping on the Bears after I've been against them all this time and the turnover margin and the comfort behind wins. I get that they are nowhere near as good as a typical divisional round team, a division winner, but they have improved. They got stops when they needed to last week. Ben Johnson's a really good play caller. I've started to come around where Caleb Williams, I don't know if he's an elite player, but boy, you could do a lot worse than him at quarterback. He makes plays. He makes plays with his legs. And this Rams defense, you look, every week they give up 30 points. And they gave up 30 points a couple times to the Panthers the last, 6 weeks of the season. They gave up 27 in a loss to Atlanta. They gave up a ton of points. They lose 38-37 to Seattle that Thursday night game, middle of December. They have gotten torched on defense. They had a couple cupcakes with you got to play Arizona and pad their stats. But even that game, they were losing pretty late. They're just not a great defense. Their special teams can be an issue. I know the Bears have holes. The Bears have flaws. The Bears are not good against the run. And maybe the Rams in that weather will just line up and run it and use play action. And maybe they will move the ball up and down the field. And the Bears will finally be exposed, so to speak. That's certainly possible. There's a reason the Rams are favored. There's a reason they're favored by 3.5 on the road. They are the better team, but the conditions, the possible injury here for Stafford, I will take the Bears plus the 3.5, and it just feels like the Bears maybe have a little magic. I know they're not perfectly built for this weather either, because it's not, you know, they're not, I can remember in 05, they were perfect for their conditions, where they were defense, they didn't have much offense, and it could run the ball. This is not, they're not good against the run, they're not good on defense, so they're not the perfect Chicago Bear type of team for 0-degree weather. I get that. But I like them plus the 3.5. And if nothing else, I could see them being down 10 late. You get in the back door against that soft Rams defense and you lose by 3. I could certainly see that being possible. Remember, that is a 6:30 Eastern game. No more Sunday football, 1 o'clock Eastern. These games start Sunday at 3 o'clock Eastern, and then that night one. And it's the same thing, championship week. They moved this. When did they change this? Maybe it's been like a decade or so now. It's actually been a while, eight or 9 years, something like that, where they got rid of the divisional round being 1 o'clock Eastern. And that 6:30 Eastern is always just a weird start, because you don't, you know, it's not a night game. It's not a 4:30 game. It's, you know, you're watching the game and you lose track of the clock, and you're like, wow, the game's over. It's 9 o'clock. It doesn't feel as late as it does. It's just kind of a weird in-between start time. But those are the start times, 3 o'clock Eastern for Texans Patriots, 6:30 Eastern Rams and the Bears. I hate doing this. I will pick the life on the line. I would pick the Rams to win, to be honest, but I'm not laying the points with them with their defense, like all the reasons I mentioned, the weather, the quarterback. So I will say we have it. We get a final four of Bills Texans, and doesn't it just feel like we get one more Seahawks Rams game? Probably. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears won. How could you be with all this, you know, the comebacks, the magic, all of the things that have broken their way? Maybe it's just this team of destiny. But that team of destiny stuff, you see in the NCAA tournament, even in the NFL to some degree, that team of destiny stuff, eventually clock strikes midnight on these teams. Very rarely do you get the team of destiny that goes all the way and has no business winning a championship that wins a championship. Usually the champion is pretty deserving. Really in all these sports. I mean, the Giants had some fluky runs, but even they had a, you know, really good pass rush, a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. Usually, you know, a team like the Bears winning it all, or even getting to a Super Bowl. Getting to a Super Bowl happens. I think actually that 07 Super Bowl team with the Bears was not a great team. So you get some fluky teams that make it, but them actually winning it is not going to happen. Eventually, the magic pixie dust wears off, which they've been living on here, but we'll see if it goes for another week. So I will say we get Rams, Seahawks, and I'll say we get Texans and Bills in the final four. Miami and Indiana Monday. Boy, that line just continues to grow. I was talking about this, and I'll talk about it on the Monday show as we preview it. If these teams played in week one or week six, this line is not only Indiana is not only not an 8.5-point favorite. Miami might be favored. I think Miami would have been favored at a lot of points during the season. It wasn't that long ago. Indiana was a 3.5-point dog to Ohio State, a game where Ohio State lost by 3. They kicked a field goal, a short field goal in the red zone that missed. They were stopped on 4th and goal from the 1. They had 2 trips inside the red zone with 0 points. This idea that Indiana is just completely infallible, unbeatable, think that there's some recency bias. I understand you. I mean, you score 1 million points against Oregon, you destroy Alabama. They deserve the respect, but I think you are certainly paying a tax on Indiana at this point. So, exciting weekend. Let's get Mitch Moss's thoughts on all of these games, Miami, Indiana, that and more. That is next. This should have been more podcast. Should have bet more podcast. We are back. Our next guest needs no introduction, but we will introduce him anyway. You catch him Monday through Friday. It's still, I was about to say Monday mornings and Friday, Monday through Friday mornings, but he is now in the afternoons. Follow the money, pods to the future. It's our buddy Mitch Moss. Mitch, what's going on, man? Football season is winding down. How are you?
It's always it's a great time of year, but it's also a sad time of year. We were talking about this before the pod recorded. I'm never happy to see the football season go, ever. Right? Like,
no.
I didn't want the regular season to end. I know for a fact that I've wanted regular seasons to end before, for whatever reason. This year, no chance that I want the season to end. It was too good.
Yeah, and I was just talking about it on my open. Like, from a content standpoint, from just a fan standpoint, I like the fact that, you know, at the college football championship game was January 19th, January 20th. The longer you can get me to March Madness, that gap with nothing really going on, the shorter the shorter that gap is, the better. That being said, there is something weird about like college football playing maybe like a week, 10 days before February. It is a little strange for a sport that used to be traditionally just over January 1st.
I know. Dan Lanning actually did say this before like the playoffs started. He wants the season to end on January 1st. I get your point. I think going back to that would be pretty good. It's never going to happen.
No. And it's tough from their standpoint, before we get into the games, it is tough from their standpoint. And I've seen some, like, the ratings are down in, certain games. It's tough just like a casual fan. I mean, you and I are diehards. People listening to this probably diehards. But all year the games are played on Saturdays. And then you get to the playoffs, and sometimes they're on Saturdays. Sometimes they're on a Thursday. Sometimes they're on a Friday. The championship game's on a Monday. It is kind of – it's A, spread out, and B, just sort of all over the place.
No question. And you're committed, right? They hold us hostage because you're going to watch this stuff. You're going to bet on this stuff. So it's pretty much – when you factor in the NFL playoffs as well, and even like the regular season, how they play Thanksgiving, Christmas, it doesn't matter the day of the week. It's like, yeah, I'm there for 3, 6, 9 hours every single day. You got me. You hook, line, and sinker. I'm in, so let's go.
Is divisional week, is this the best weekend of football of the year when you tie in the fact that we do get the national championship game here on Monday?
Man, it's so tough. I've loved championship weekend, meaning next weekend, more than the Super Bowl for a long, long time, because to me it's about the journey more than a destination, and then you're down to the Final Four and which teams are going to make the Super Bowl is so special. But the wild card weekend, what that has turned into, I think has topped all of it, and I'm going to put the divisional round second just because I've always loved the divisional round as well. It's the final weekend where we're going to get the Saturday and the Sunday game. So it's an amazing 3-week stretch, man. It really is.
Yeah, 100%. And I've always thought Championship Sunday – now, you don't get the games on Saturday, but Championship Sunday, just as far as an individual day, top three, top five day of the sports calendar, first couple days of March Madness, then again, gets to what you like. Do you like you like golf, you like, for some people, tennis, Wimbledon, but to me, NFL draft is one of those days, conference championships, some people say opening day, Major League Baseball, but yeah, Championship Sunday is certainly an elite day. Let's get to the divisional rounds, get to these games. I'll give you the floor. Your favorite side or total for these four games is what?
It was when it first popped on Sunday night, it was Chicago +4.5. Now, I know that that's not fair because the number is gone at this point. However, you look at, I'm looking at FanDuel right now, they're on Rams -3.5, -120, trending to go back in that direction. Also, I think we still have a book or two where it's at 4. For the game, I think the number is a little bit too high here with the Rams. And if you want to go full season body of work, I know some who are very sharp have said that there's a chance this turns into a blowout. We'll see. I mean, the weather is going to be a major factor the way it seems. If you look at recent form, this team is not in great shape. I mean, the results don't lie. I mean, blowing, I get it. Do they blow that game? If they play the Seahawks and it was 30-14, 10 out of 10 times, how many times do they blow it? Maybe only that, probably only that one time, but the special teams has been a problem. The defense has been a problem. The Falcons game, that was alarming to me. The Cardinals game, had to have it for the 5 seed. They're down late third quarter to that team, and they stink. They were 3-13 going into the game. And then, they had a month plus to get ready for to linger on that loss to the Panthers, and then you get them again, and the thought was, okay, that's not going to replay itself out on the football field, and it did, and they almost lost again. And Bryce Young had 3, I think, solid games this year. 2 of them came against the Rams, and like watching that game as somebody holding Rams futures, and I promise my bet on the Bears is not a hedge, it's just I thought the number was too high. I'm thinking to myself, guys, you were so good on the defensive line for a majority of the year. You have so much young talent, and getting pressures like, if you go to PFF and look at the individual pressure rate, guys like Verse and Young were awesome for the first 3 months. They couldn't get a finger on Bryce Young the whole game. So I'm concerned that they're leaking a little bit too much oil here on defense and on special teams. And now you got to trust a dome team from Southern California to go and play in one of the coldest situations we're ever going to get in the NFL playoffs and win by, at the time when I bet it, win by 5 or more. To me, that was all about the Bears and trusting Ben Johnson and that team overall with those points.
I'm totally with you, and I haven't been a believer in the Bears, and I still can't believe the Packers blew that game last week, and I was on the Packers, and my goodness, what a loss that was. But the weather, the fact they're home, they're getting points, and Stafford's finger. To me, that's that's not nothing. All it takes is a couple throws where they come off the hand funny and they get intercepted. The Bears have a nose for the ball. You could say the turnovers, there's some luck there. There probably is some luck there when you're plus 22 in turnovers for the year, and they're actually minus last week, but that's a concern. Stafford traditionally hasn't been great in cold weather, and I know they won the game. If they had ever lost that game, that is one of the worst playoff losses. I know it's the wild card round, so you can't say it's the worst one ever. But just in terms of being a 10.5 point favorite, up 14 to nothing, up, what, 17 to 7, about to go up maybe like 24 to 7. All right, you kick a field goal, it's 27. Next thing you know, they're losing. Puka has the drop. That would have been the worst loss ever. They were a 20.5 point live favorite. I was doing the live bet show, live bet Saturday on VSiN, and neither of us wanted the Panthers at plus 20.5. That would have been just a disgraceful loss, but they got out of it.
Yeah, and again, like how many times does Puka drop in that same exact situation out of 100 chances like that? Does he drop it that one time? Maybe. I think that might be it, because the guy comes up with the best catches in the league like every single Sunday. So how do you drop that one? It was so bizarre. So we're on the same page with that
one. I had first half, too. I had first half minus six. That was a tough one.
Oh, that's no good.
No good.
The question I have, though, which coach is going to lose their mind a little bit more? Because McVay can be pass happy, even when they, and they should be able to run the ball pretty much the entire. This should be a big Kyren Williams and Blake Corum game based on the Bears' defense and how teams have been able to run at them pretty much the entire year. But I don't, like, is McVay going to be content to just run it 40 times in the game if it's working like that? And also, like, I love Ben Johnson, amazing job year one. He lost his mind against Green Bay. He was basically telling Matt LaFleur, I don't want to win this game. Here, you take it from us. And yet the Packers still lost it. Those decisions in the first half were. If it was any other coach in like the regular season, we'd be saying this guy's got to get fired. It was so bad.
Yeah, a little ambitious going for it, fourth and four that early in that field position. Broncos, Bills, I know it's overly simplistic. I know the Bills' pass catchers are beat up. I have a hard time in what should be a close game. I have a hard time going Knicks over Allen. I know there's other players on the field, but I just think it'll be close. In a close game, I'll take the elite quarterback over the mediocre quarterback. What's your take on this game?
It's just kind of the same thing. And I bet pick, so that's a bad number here. I bet it right away on Sunday again, and this has been going back and forth the entire week, but Broncos now basically 1.5, I think, at most spots, if I'm not mistaken. And look, this almost sets up a little bit like last week. I thought the Jags had an edge in so many facets of the football game, and it was going to come down to what Trevor Lawrence do we get, and is Josh Allen going to be Superman again? And it just, if a couple of things go the other way, if that field goal doesn't hook, if Lawrence's scramble is actually a first down, Jags probably win that game. But they didn't, and now you have to rely on – look, it's a really good defense in Denver. They've also had, out of their 14 wins, 8, where they've been extremely fortunate. A lot of those have been against like teams that did not do well at all this year. The Jets game, we were live on the air on VSiN and watching that Jets game unfold. The Jets were – an absolute stink bomb that entire game, and yet Denver could barely win it. That game, getting blasted by the Giants, and you needed countless things to go your way late in the fourth quarter to come back and win the game. Down the stretch, taking on the Chiefs' third stringers, not looking great, struggling. The same thing against the Chargers and their backups and Trey Lance, not looking great. Like I don't trust the offense at all, even though you should be able to run the entire time on the Bills. But again, the Jags were last week with Tootin, and they just said, no, we're going to try to beat you, Trevor Lawrence, and it never made any sense. If J.K. Dobbins, I think this is where the Broncos are really going to miss him, because between the tackles with that offensive line, I think they could just run it with him 25 times and play keep away from Josh Allen and stuff it down their throats the entire time, mix in some Harvey, a little bit of Knicks here. But he's out, been out for a long time. And is it going to be Harvey running between the tackles? He's more of an edge guy, get him in space. Is it going to be a McLaughlin game? So this just comes down to trusting Josh Allen to make one more play than the Broncos offense, and that's why I bet Buffalo.
Yeah, and from a prop standpoint, I talked about this earlier. I like Allen over 8.5 rush attempts. He had 11 last week. Kneel downs count. QB sneaks count. How many times is he going to call his own number? At least a handful. I think he gets 9, 10 plus carries. I like that over there. I think in a big spot, him just tucking his head and tucking the ball away and putting his head down and running is probably their best play. So I do like that over.
Now, how about this?
Go ahead.
No, sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was going to move on to the next game. If you had something else on this, though.
There is this angle, too. Like, being down to only three receivers at this point and the possibility of the Denver defense maybe neutralizing Cook in this spot. I went back and looked at Josh Allen's six losses in the NFL playoffs and how he performed in those games. And it was never really his fault. I mean, he was so good. He was running for, in some of those games, he had 90-plus yards running. He had 88 against the Chiefs one time, 70-plus against the Chiefs another game. So he, in those losses, he averaged 325 yards per game. That's passing and receiving. His prop for this week, the combo prop, is 253. Even, like, if they win the game, he's going to have to play out of his mind, we think. But in a loss, if they're trailing, turns into Allen a little bit more desperate, he's going to take off, they abandon the running game. Isn't 253 and a half on the passing and rushing, isn't that cheap? Isn't that a little bit low?
Yeah, that's light. I like the over there, and I think these running quarterbacks generally run more in the playoffs. The one playoff loss that I think sticks to him a little bit, and I agree, he's generally played great in the playoffs. That's since he won, what was it, 3 years ago in the snow or at home. They were never really in the game. They were a big favorite. That was a couple weeks after the Hamlin game. That one was a bad one, but for the most part, I totally agree. He's been really good.
And the numbers would bear that out. That was the worst game that he had numbers-wise, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad one. Seahawks, 49ers, I don't really want to lay the points. I think Seahawks are a good teaser leg. I could see this going either way. I could see the 49ers, who are thin on bodies, short on rest here, playing from Sunday to Saturday, which Denver is too. I could see Seattle winning comfortably. I could also see San Francisco, backdoor. I could see this being tied with 5 minutes. And I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I'd be a little bit surprised. I wouldn't be shocked if San Francisco won the game outright. So I'm kind of all over the map with this game. I don't have a great feel. I do feel comfortable probably teasing Seattle just because you are going through the 3 and the 7. Do you have a stronger take or a stronger feel on this one?
No, it would be pretty much the same thing. Like, I think Seattle probably wins the game, but I'm not like ultra confident in that, and I'm definitely not going to lay the points. But I think the leg or the bet here would be to tease them down to 1.5. It's going to come down to how much of a repeat performance are we going to get in this game that we saw a couple of weeks back. Like, is it just, does McDonald and the coaching staff want to limit Darnold's opportunities with the football because they might know he got us here, really good season, but we're now running the ball really effectively, and let's not have Darnold throw the ball 40 times unless we fall behind by 3 touchdowns in the game. The biggest weakness on the Seahawks pretty much the entire year, one of them anyway, was their lack of a running game. They could never really establish Walker / Charbonnet in these games. Well, you go back and look at the last 3 games, they have been running brilliantly, and they combined for almost, 171 yards combined in the previous game against the 49ers. They ran the ball really well against Carolina. They ran the ball combined. I think it was Walker with 100 against the Rams in Week 16. DraftKings has a prop up, Will, where you can go down and find, they have a bunch of markets with, like the rushing stats, the receiving stats, all this stuff, right, you want to look at. They have a combo market where you can kind of pick and choose your players that they list out for you. And one is, will Charbonnet and Walker combine for 125-plus yards on the ground? And that's higher than plus 150. I think that's the play. At that price, at plus 150, for those two guys to combine for 125, to me, worth it. Again, there are scenarios here where that doesn't play out. The 49ers get the lead. Darnold is going to have to get Jason involved a little bit more. But the recent form with that team and how good they've looked lately and what happened the previous matchup, I think that's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, I like that one. And with all of the menu options, the more stuff they post, the harder it is to post the perfect line on everything. The last one here, Texans, because we talked Rams and Bears, and we talked the other two. Texans, Patriots, 3. I think if you shop around, you might be able to get like a 3.5, even if it's minus 115, minus 120. It looks like it might be heading that way. I have a hard time laying the points with New England. I think if the Chargers did anything on offense last week, we'd be talking about a different bracket here. We'd be talking about the Chargers playing in Denver. The Chargers really left the game on the table. Their defense played great. Herbert did nothing in the game. I think these teams will both be conservative early after turning it over so much last week. But I would lean towards the Texans. I'd lean towards an under. Again, not a strong feel for me. This line's about right. What's your take on Patriots-Texans here?
No, you're right. I think I never want an over in a Houston game. I would only look at under there. And if that Monday night game in Pittsburgh had gone over, man, that's one of the worst beats of the entire year. Yes. And thank God it did not. But that would be a play. I think maybe looking at one of the team totals under as well. I just I don't think we're going to have the same running attack from Houston that we saw against Pittsburgh. Like, I think the New England rush defense is going to be able to absolutely slow down the combination of Marks and Chubb. So then it's going to fall into the hands of C.J. Stroud making these plays without Nico Collins, and Christian Gonzalez practiced earlier in the week for the Patriots, and he's a really good cornerback, obviously one of the best in football. So it comes down to your level of faith in Stroud making all those plays, and he was really bad. I mean, to your point, like, if he maybe hit a couple of those throws, like, how do you miss Collins that would have been a touchdown, fumbling the entire time, just so wildly inaccurate, forcing the ball as well. We have, you know, whatever happens last in our brains, but it's also the more we watch the guy, I think the less we like him. Don't you think that's a little fair? If you go back to his rookie year, he was oh my God, this is a home run pick, and now we're having the question, like, is he even better than Bryce Young? Which, yeah, I think is probably a fair one to talk about right now. So I'm a little scared to play their team total under, though, because the defense could obviously pop for one at any point.
And I was thinking, they probably weren't going to do this, but I was thinking, because once you make that move, it's hard to keep switching back and forth. I was actually thinking, does Davis Mills give them a better chance to win? Which, I mean, you would have never, I mean, 2 years ago, that was one of, like you said, one of the three or four best rookie seasons from a quarterback. Cam Newton had one, and Jaden Daniels topped it the next year or thereabouts. Yeah. But that was just an elite, like, all-time great rookie quarterback season. And since then, he's just been kind of average. Miami, Indiana, who do you like? I feel like this line is just getting out of hand here. I know Indiana's a tough team to fade, but to me, Miami is the side here. What do you agree or disagree?
I mean, they're an amazing story. They've been a blast to watch. You have to love Cignetti. At what point of the season would this number have been 8.5 or 9?
Great at what point?
Never once. So I think the only – and look, I mean, we're watching all these games together and people are talking about them after they're over with. Hasn't the common narrative about Miami been they got as much talent as anybody in the entire country? I mean, that was all I heard after they beat Ohio State, and it was spot on. And so to catch that many points, I know that Indiana's a freight train, but again – this number is just getting to the point of where you have to now win basically by 10 points in this spot, and I could only look one way here, and that would be the Hurricanes.
All right, last one. Any of these coaching hires do anything for you? I was talking about this the other day. If Belichick just did not go to North Carolina and all the crazy stuff with the girlfriend, with all the openings, and just it's a game of musical chairs and there's just not enough butts to go in the seats, Belichick would, I would say, almost 100% have one of these jobs if he wanted one. That being said, any of these guys move the needle for you? Coach of the Year will be fascinating next year with all these first-year head coaches, but anything that that interests you in terms of these maneuvers?
Well, the Harbaugh news earlier here on Thursday morning came in. I don't think that was a surprise to anybody. I think that's kind of the guy that makes the most sense there. I don't think Tomlin's going to do it again. I cannot imagine that. I think Stefanski's going to be a good hire if he lands at the right spot. Like, if he were to go to, I think Atlanta would be good for him. I'm trying to wrap my brain around Baltimore, if that would work or not, like inside that same division. Maybe it really would. But this is something that you can't ignore. I mean, he did win Coach of the Year twice, which I think probably means something. The fact that he was actually in the running for Coach of the Year was good enough for me. And when you look at the rosters that ownership group and front office gave him to work with, man, oh, man. I mean, they do not, outside of the defense, the offense and the quarterbacks have been an absolute question mark the entire time. And I know Flacco was really good in that run, but that was also kind of a fluke. He was okay this year with the Bengals as well, but we have that whole year with the Colts off the couch. Like, again, how many times is that going to happen? I think there's a chance that Stefanski's really good as an offensive guy. And if he went to the right spot, I think that spot could be with the Falcons with all their weapons. I could get on board with that one. Also, like, a team like the Raiders can't screw this up. You can't, and they probably will. Like, my level of faith in this team getting it right long-term is null and void, but you got to – guys, come on. It's been 25 years.
Game day snacks this weekend. What's your go-to game day snacks? I don't know if you guys talk about this a lot. I know you are married to a chef, which a lot of people envy. What's your go-to here?
Tough for me to get by. Like, she's been making chicken wings lately. Oh, man. Like, the sauces that she puts on and she comes up with for the chicken wings.
Baked and or fryer? How do you guys cook them?
Bakes them.
Okay.
Bakes them. When chicken wings are done right, you can't be topped. I absolutely love them. I could whack down 30 of them with a couple of beers. Always tough also. Like, just pizza, good idea. And then I'm a simple guy, man. She makes great stuff, but you throw some nachos in front of my face, and they're going to be gone within 5 minutes. So keep it simple with those three things, and I think I'm good to go. What about you?
I'm a wings guy. The flavor is good. They come out good. I've been struggling with, and maybe I'll have to get some notes from you or your wife, Lorraine, how to get them crispy. I know you got to dry them in the water, like the moistness kills the crispiness, and then you just got to keep drying and putting them in the fridge dries them out. But that's, I think, the problem. That crunch is the key. The crunch, that's the difference between good wings and great wings.
There's a spot out here called the Tap Room, I believe. Now I'm blanking on the name, but they have some of the best wings in all of Las Vegas, and they double bake them. Very good idea. And I would put their wings up against probably anybody in the city, and we do have good wings out here. So I like that idea, because to your point, then, you know that it's going to come out like crispy how you want it every single time. And that's like, I can't, like, fatty or kind of like loose skin chicken wings, I can't even begin to eat those.
Totally with you. Mitch, you're the best man. Follow the money. Where else can we find you? Pod to the Futures. What else you got going on?
I'm on Instagram. I love posting on Instagram. Mitch Moss is my handle there. I don't love posting on Instagram, but that's my handle. And if you want to follow there, I post a lot of photos of our kid, Sebastian. So it's one of those things more for the family than anything else, but it's kind of fun actually for me.
Great to have you, man. Thanks for coming on.
I will. Thank you. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back on Monday. See you then.